continue our lesson on ready to answer, that it's been of benefit to you. I think I may have mentioned this to you, that at the end of our study, at the end of the course, we will probably have talked about between 30 and 35 religious errors. And there's, of course, a lot more that could be talked about, and a lot more could be said about each one of these. If you don't have a sheet, I think there may be some in the back, since you're here on Sunday morning and you probably did not anticipate studying our Wednesday night class material. So you can jump up and get you a copy of the lesson that's in the back. Last Wednesday we covered on the front side of the sheet numbers 1 and 2. We talked about when folks may believe that the Bible is in need of constant updating to make it applicable to modern culture. It's just kind of out of touch with our society and our world today. We dealt with that when we talked about number 2. The Bible, although true, is not the sole standard of authority in religious matters. And it's important for us to be able to give an answer to any of these at a moment's notice. You may do a lot better job than I'm able to do, but I can't remember where everything is at in the Bible. I wish I could. But we need to be able, the best we can, to be ready to give an answer to individuals when we have opportunity from the Bible. Not just simply, well, I know it's there. And if you don't know where it's at, you can say, I know it's there. I'll find where that's at and get back with you. But I'm challenging us this quarter to commit as much of this as we can to our memories and be able to help others on the spot. So we'll talk about number 3 and maybe number 4. And these are similar but yet different. Number 3 talks about this idea that the Bible contains merely the words of men. Who authored the Bible? How do you respond to that? Not a trick question, but it just depends on what you're thinking about it and the way that you're looking at that.
John 12:48.
Say it again.
John 12:48.
Yeah. The author is really the Holy Spirit who revealed the words to the Bible writers. And then there were various men who wrote the Bible. And these were men just like me and you, but they wrote the words of the Bible under the direction of the Holy Spirit. They were inspired to write the things that they did. I'll never forget the fact that the Bible came from God. It's God's mind revealed to us through the Holy Spirit and the men that God chose to pen the words of the Bible. Someone may say, yeah, I like that passage. I think it was sure that it's a good passage, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But the words of Jesus, he talks about in John 12:48. But someone may say, well, you know, it's just really the words of men. Well, it's not so. Again, the Bible is inspired. You need to deal with that first of all. And when you think about being inspired, what is a passage that normally, probably more than likely, comes to the minds of most?
2 Peter 1:20-21.
That's a good passage. That all men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Right? That word moved, by the way, it has the idea of being borne along. Some describe it like a sailboat that is moved or pushed along of the wind. They wrote by the Holy Spirit.
Romans 1, verse 7. Starting with 1, verse 5 in particular. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith.
Romans 1, 5.
For his name.
2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. And other passages that come to mind as you think about the Word of God being the Word of God. But again, many times individuals may say, well, you know what, these are just the words of men. Is that the case? Just the words of men? Well, who wrote it?
Inspired.
Men did. Inspired men. Did? And the Bible is chock full of all kinds of statements by a lot of different people. I just jotted some down on my handout. You may have, well, we have the words of Eve. That's recorded in Genesis 2, 3 and 4. Someone says, preacher, was she inspired when she said that? How would you respond to that? Did she speak in the garden by inspiration? Well, of course not. And we have the words of Adam, Genesis 2, 23 and 24. And we have the words of the devil himself in Genesis 3, 1 and verses 4 through 5. And then Job chapter 1, a conversation that Satan had with the devil. And Matthew chapter 4. There's a lot of statements in the Bible by a lot of different people, not all of which are true when the person said it. They spoke a lot of things, it's simply not the truth.
But they didn't write it.
And that's the point. And good for you, Rhodes. The question is not, were they inspired necessarily when they said it? And we know the apostles were and others that spoke, the prophets and so forth. But the question is, did the Bible writer, when he penned it, did he pen those things by the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? Good, Jack. She's first answered. Good. Without hesitancy. That's the case. When Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, did he do so by the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit? Sure he did. When John wrote John, in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, in the book of Revelation, did he do so under the direction of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Now, more so to the questioner there that I've really wanted you to think about is the idea of, are the words given or is it simply the thoughts that were given? There's a lot of passages that talk about the words themselves being inspired. They came from God. And I did make a copy of a handout that I put together to hand out to you, but if you want a copy of these, I have several that I put together that talk about the Word being from God. You can take a little note of these. We'll just look at some of them. Exodus 24:4. Maybe make you a little note on your handout. You'll have all kinds of passages you can give to individuals. Not even at the front of your Bible, make you a little list of the words are inspired. You'll always have that if you have your Bible with you. Exodus 24:4, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. Good. And rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. 2 Samuel 23:3, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his, see, this would be a good exercise of fill in the blank. And his word was in my tongue. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. That's one of the negative sins. Jeremiah 26:2, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. That's an emphatic, strong statement. Diminish not a word. Well, suppose I'll give the thought, but not necessarily the same word that was given to me. Would that word? I'll get right to you. But would that word, yes or no?
No.
Is there a difference between expressing the thought and saying the word? Expressing, well, sure there is. Someone says, well, there's a lot of different thoughts that you could use to convey the message you receive. Well, that's true. But when we're dealing with inspiration, the prophets of old and the Bible writers were to write the words that were given to them, not the thoughts. Bellis?
I was just going to ask, because I've always wondered this, like when Paul is writing to a church and he starts out with a greeting to the church, do you think that's God-inspired also? Or?
Every word of the Scripture is inspired. Every word. Now, maybe folks that disagree with that, but these brethren that would disagree and say that. So, but here's the thing. How would you know and not know? Now, if I responded that by saying, just to use that for the sake of the conversation, if I were to say, well, no, that's not inspired, how did I arrive at that conclusion? And if you turned over and if you turned over to Acts 2:38 or Mark 16:16 or Revelation 2:10, and you were to say, well, you know, these are not inspired, how could I argue that and say, well, I can say that this one is not inspired, but you can't say that that one's not inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Don't ever forget that. If we fail to understand that, and I know, Bellis, you do understand, but if we as a group fail to understand that, we undermine the credibility of the entire Bible and God Himself. Don't ever allow yourself to believe otherwise. Matthew 10:20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Acts 1:16. I won't cover all these, but if you'd like to have this, you'll let me know. Men and brethren, this Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David. So David penned it. He was the human agent that wrote it. But Jesus Himself said, which the Holy Spirit said by the mouth of David. Before concerning Judas, which was God to them that took Jesus. And then I realized 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And when He says, which the Holy Ghost teacheth, what is that in reference to? Anybody? Think about what He just said. The verse answers it. Now notice He said, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. What is that in reference to?
The gospel.
Yeah. The words which we speak is what He's saying. He's making it. It's a comparison. He's talking about the words which we speak are not given, in other words, by men, but which the Holy Spirit giveth or teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That's emphasis. Expressly. He could just say, now the Spirit speaks. But He said expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And of course, 2 Timothy 3:15-17. You could just add to a list like that, but they're not the words of men. Men wrote them, but those words came from God through the Holy Spirit. I like the passage also in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise of a made old Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until He was taken up. After that, He through the Holy Ghost gave commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen. That was about Christ. Through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom He had chosen. Then you may want to write down on your list as well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and then verse 13. Someone read that for us nice and loud if you will.
For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe.
The Word of God, not the Word of men. And there's questions that folks may ask about. Well, how do you explain the difference in the style of one book to another? For example, in the book of, when John wrote, those you can tell that it's a writing of John. I mean, there are a lot of similarities in 1 John and the book of John. There's a lot of similarities between the books that Paul wrote. So if you say, someone may say, well, if you say that it's all from God, then how do you explain the difference in the various literary styles, the difference in their writings? How would you respond to that? Is there differences? Sure there are. There's some statements Paul makes that are real peculiar to his writings. So his greetings are similar. His endings are similar. That doesn't undermine the inspiration of the Bible, does it? And folks, if God, who made the world, included man, with man's intelligence and man's ability to be able to speak and communicate, if God did that, then surely He, through the instrument of the Holy Spirit, could do it in such a way that would allow their individual styles to show forth. Not that it's not inspired, that the words themselves are not inspired. Every word is inspired. So that doesn't undermine the credibility of the Bible whatsoever. Any other thoughts that references maybe you want to give to that? As you answer, you may not have your sheet with you. And that's okay, we'll let you off the hook.
Well, Hebrews 1, says God spoke to us through His Son. And Matthew 17, Transfiguration, God said this is not the blood of the Son, Peter healed. So what words did they speak? You know, they were spoke the words that was inspired of God.
Good. And again, it goes back to the idea, if I can pick and choose, so can you. And if you can't, why should I be able to do that? Larry?
Would you answer those that bring about the point of all the various translations that we have today and those that hold to, I say, the King James only, that they believe that that translation is the only one that is inspired, even though it's a translation, or to talk to those that say, well, it's if it is inspired, then all the translations are inspired and so forth?
You know, there's a difference between a version and a perversion of the word. And many times what you have, Larry knows, you have a perversion of the word. There's a difference in taking something that is in an original language or tongue and translating that into whatever the language would be, into English. Directly from other manuscripts or the original language. But so many times what you have is you have someone who had a version of the Bible. Maybe it didn't have something that they liked, and so they just translated that into another version when that wasn't a reliable version to begin with. So there's a vastly different, big difference. In fact, a lot of the King James Version, many times will put on the first page of it, translated out of the original tongues. So you've got to be careful about what version you're using. Study up on it. Check on the history of it. Was this a translation from an original tongue? Or is it just another rewrite or another version of this version, of that version, and so forth and so on down the line? It's my understanding with the King James Version and the New King James Version that it was from the original languages and various manuscripts, and there's a difference between the two. The manuscripts that they had in the New King James Version just really takes the King James Version and updates some of those archaic words that we no longer use, like the word suffer or superfluity of naughtiness, and just updates those into a modern language. But it doesn't change the meaning of it. And I'll tell you something I appreciate about the King James Version and some of the other versions is when the translators did put into English a word that necessarily wasn't found in the original so far as the thought was concerned, that they did what to it? They put in italics, kind of slanted. So that you know that is a word that was not necessarily in the original, but it was put there as they translated the Bible just for clarity of what the passage says. I think about Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. But anyway, you got to be careful about what version you use. Ask them. Look, do you some research on it. Who put this out? Were there any biases that these men had? that they may have let shine through this particular version of the Bible. I mean, if you read a Bible that was put out by the Watch Track Bible Society, what do you think that it's going to do?
And
let me also say this. Be very careful about your footnotes in your Bibles. You'll have some Bibles, I know this off the point, but it really is went in line with this question. You'll have some Bibles that have the text of the Bible up here, but then down here they have this man's expounding of that. I have upstairs, I was just looking at it this past week, a volume of this Bible, but one of them is the Bible, and he uses Acts 2:38, and then he talks about in his footnotes that nowhere does the Bible condition salvation on water baptism. You've got to be careful about what you pick up. Every version of the Bible is not reliable. Now, do I believe that the King James Version is the only reliable version of the Bible? No. But you've got to be careful about what you pick up and you read. Hope that helps some.
I have a New King James Version study Bible that the footnotes are right, especially on the baptism part on Acts 2:38. But on what Larry said, I have people who say to me that, well, okay, you're saying that it was translated from this into this, but how do we know that men didn't make mistakes? Because men are not perfect, so that how do you know that they didn't make a mistake when they were translating?
God inspired the writing of the Scriptures. No version of the Bible that we have today is inspired of God. We understand that. But things, many times the mindset behind that is not one of a person who is trying to find truth, but is one that is trying to undermine the validity of what the Bible says. So you can always turn that around and say, well, show me an example. So give me an example of where they messed up in the Bible. And ask them those lines. But anyway, I hope that helps some. So the Bible, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Number four, any other thoughts, anything you might want to add to the questions that's been asked or to these other ones?
The King James that we use actually is like even been revised, I think, maybe three or four times since the original reading. So I get it when the people of another religion would question that. But the Bible does say that we will have the truth, so...
That's right. And you have versions today and folks today who will omit entire text of the Bible. Folks who say that the entire last part of Mark chapter 16 was not in the original. That Lazarus and the rich man was not in the original. Well, you tell me where we are when we start deciding, well, I'm going to take this out, and I'm going to leave this, I'm going to take this out. Where does that leave us? I believe every word of the Bible. I hope you do too. I believe it came from God. Number four. This one deals with the thoughts of men. Well, the Bible just simply contains the thoughts of men. This goes back kind of to the handout that I gave you. God inspired the Word, but He really did leave it up to each individual person how they were going to express the thought that God gave them. What'd you put on your sheet, if you have your sheet? If you don't have, what'd you remember that you put down?
1 Thessalonians 2:13.
And how would you use that, fellas? Talked about earlier.
You read it.
You go right ahead.
That says, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you said it not as human word, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you.
Yeah. Someone tell me the difference between a thought and a word.
Words and expression. It can be an expression of a thought.
Have you ever thought one thing, but you said something that did not best convey what you were thinking? I've done that plenty of times. I've been thinking one thing, but what came out just didn't express really what I was meaning to say or what I was thinking to say. Sometimes there is a difference between what you're thinking and the word that is chosen. But with the mind of God, the words themselves were given. Rose?
I was just going to say, sometimes it's hard to put your thoughts into words.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah. You have to be God giving them the words to say.
God didn't have that issue like we do. In 2 Samuel 23:2, again, I really appreciate this statement. The Lord spake by me, and His word was on my tongue, in my mouth. Not my thought, not His thought. I remember the question someone asked on one occasion, years ago. They said, "Well, you tell me then if the apostles and the Bible writers were inspired of God, are you telling me that they just sat down and were in some kind of trance and just had nothing? They just started writing with no discretion or no input whatsoever? What would you say to that? Are you saying they just kind of just sat there and dictated what was given to them? Let me remind you, you're not under obligation to answer every silly question that comes your way. Are you? Relative to what the apostles and Bible writers looked like, and what the situation was when they were writing, guess what? I don't know and you don't either.
Yeah,
well, it has nothing to do with the inspiration of the Bible. So, it amounts, we said nothing whatsoever about the circumstance, the surroundings, what they looked like. Really, that just is a silly question. And most of the time, I'll tell you that you will not get honest questions, or let me rephrase it, you will not get questions like that from honest truth seekers. You just won't. Most people understand how silly of a question of things like that are, but anyway.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says there, he says in verse 16, he says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So, I mean, in other words, what God revealed to the apostles, what were his thoughts? And they were able to express those.
Good job. Good passage. Anyone else?
Along with that, you have verses 11 through 13 that talks about the thought being conveyed to words by the Holy Spirit.
You know, you'll find some Bible writer like Peter who would use the word think. Like he said, I think it's in chapter 1, maybe chapter 2, when he said, "I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to do what? Yeah, stir you up by putting you in remembrance of these things, though you knew them." That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. So, some may say, well, okay, now, so he just said that he thinks it me. Therefore, that was his thinking, and that God didn't inspire that. What's this word mean?
Everything.
Good. How simple. All of it. When the Bible says all Scripture, all writings given by inspiration of God, that's all of it. All of what they said. Especially 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. So the words were given by God, not merely the words of men, and not the thoughts, but the words themselves are inspired. Galatians chapter 3 is a good passage too, because he talks about the difference between the tense of a word. He says, "Not as unto seed, but as one, but unto seeds." Not as of seed by many, but as unto seed. What's the difference? Well, one single, one's plural. There's a difference. And those words were given by the Holy Spirit, and the seed, Galatians 3 and verse 16, is identified as Christ. Galatians 3 is a good passage that inspiration really was made on the tense of a word. Not seeds of many, but as of one. Our time's coming and gone. We'll have two more for Wednesday night if Greg ain't feeling better. And he may do Wednesday night if he needs that time. If not, if he doesn't, then we'll pick up with number 5 and do 5 and 6 Wednesday. I appreciate your good attention.